Power Project family, how's it going? Now, I want to talk to you guys about Within You Hydration specifically. They have This Is The Whey, which is an amazing protein that tastes really good. There's a fasting gum, but the hydration is very interesting because there's no other electrolyte supplement like it out on the market. It has 60 milligrams of magnesium, 320 potassium, 1,000 milligrams of sodium, but it also has 500 milligrams of aminos, essential amino acids, and then 2 milligrams of zinc. Two amazing flavors, blueberry lemon and a salted caramel. That's you, Andrew.
That is me.
So, guys, you know how important electrolytes are? They help you perform better. You don't get cramps during workouts. And, I mean, with the diets, you need good electrolytes. So, Andrew, how can they check it out?
Yes, that's over at markbellslingshot.com. And at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT10 to save 10% off your entire order. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
You know what's interesting is, like, you ever try to make a post from your photos, like on Instagram?
Like, you mean like post on your story from your photos?
Yeah. Or to make an actual post via like your pictures, like your camera.
Oh, like when you hit share and then like share to like Instagram.
Yeah. It never works.
It opens up a different window I've never seen. Instagram. Sorry.
And it also doesn't ever work. It like just turns white.
You might have to update something on your phone, brother.
The screen just turned white. I'm like, what is this?
When Inseema sends like emojis and shit, I just get the question mark square.
You make me so angry. You need to update your phone. That is your fault. Update your fucking phone. It doesn't take much.
This is my phone third works. Phone. I threw out the other ones. This one clearly doesn't work.
Your third 13, right? Like, yeah. You got the same one over and over. And
are we
over.
Rolling?
Yeah, we are now.
Mark, put your phone up to the screen so people can see something real quick. I want you guys all to look at Mark's phone.
Let me see. Hold on.
You see something? All right.
Let me put it on this camera. Okay, cool.
Did you see it?
I saw. I synced it.
You see this? My phone?
Yeah.
Okay, this is called the Moose case. They don't sponsor the podcast, but they have really good cases. I get it for all of my new iPhones. So I can just go like that.
I would love it if it broke.
Oh, something fell off of it.
No, nothing fell off of it. That came off of the wall. I can throw
you
it.
Broke the wall? What the fuck, dude?
Okay, so I can throw it.
God damn it.
Something fell off
that
the
is
wall.
An extremely expensive wall.
You broke some of the lights back here, too, I think.
Okay, my point is, I don't crack my phone
is now
screen.
On fire because he threw his phone.
Oh, my God.
But I think when you hit a certain tax bracket, you stop caring. You stop caring about your phone because you've gone through. This is your third 13 Pro Max, right? You get the highest one.
It's not going good for me.
Because you just don't like phone cases.
I guess not.
So this is goals, actually. Yeah, I want to get to a spot where I'm just like, fuck you, crack. Let me go get myself another phone. Pay full price.
Dude, I hit an awesome level. Like, I definitely leveled up. Like, this, it's going to sound dumb, but I am extremely proud of this.
Okay, what happened? I'm curious.
So, I used to be the guy that would get the free trial, cancel all the time, that sort of thing. I looked on, it was Amazon. Like, mm-hmm. I had a weird charge for $6.99 since February. I was like, what the fuck? So, somehow, some way, we got subscribed to Paramount Plus through Amazon.
That is a scam.
That is a scam. But I was like, damn, I feel like I made it $6.99 a month and I didn't even notice.
You didn't even care.
I didn't even notice. I'm like, Amazon, can you cancel this? I wasn't like, I've never once subscribed. I never once watched, you know, any of this. And like, oh, it looks like you watched Star Trek on this date.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, nobody watches Star Trek. What the fuck? But anyway, they...
Jasmine watching Star Trek?
I asked, and she's like, no, I'm not. So I don't know. My son, he likes to grab the control and press hella buttons and stuff, so maybe that's what happened. But they ended up refunding me the money, which was pretty dope, and I was like, oh, I wasn't even asking for that, but sick, thank you.
Yeah, man.
So it worked out.
There you go.
But $7 a month since February, I didn't even notice.
Yeah. I remember when Ballin. I remember when I stopped sweating gas. It was like when I was in like my mid-20s. Because I remember when I was in college, like fucking, and I was working at 24-Hour Fitness, you know, I was like always sweating like, ooh, do I have money for gas? Do I have money for this? Right? Mm-hmm. And then there was a certain day when I was like 23 or 24, I was like, I haven't thought about gas in a while.
Damn.
Like, you know, but I'm not saying I was rich or anything, but like you slowly stop sweating certain things. Then you get to a point where you don't sweat your $1,500 phone.
You don't care anymore. It doesn't make a difference. It's like it's like your lifts, you know, when you get strong, you aren't so concerned about 135 and 225 and stuff like that. You know,
you don't even warm up. You just go straight to 225, go straight to two plates. You used to do that, actually,
didn't
you?
Yeah. It doesn't always feel great, but some stuff, like, you know, when it came to like being in a bench shirt, it's just like a different, it's a completely different like sport, a different feel. So there was many times where I would do like 135 and 225, and then I would just put on like seven plates and just start right there. It's like one plate, two plate, seven plates. It was like more mental than anything.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is going to be a lot of fucking pressure. And even if you get used to some pressure beforehand, it still feels like a lot of pressure.
You know, but as we've been doing all these podcasts and like you've been talking about the weights you moved, and we've been getting more understanding on how your body formed into what it was to move those types of weight, it makes a lot of sense. Your body was like a block of cement. So nothing could break it. Like, nothing could move you past a certain point. And that is great for powerlifting.
Yeah, I was telling the guys that are here now, I was telling them, I said, I literally remember, like, when I start to get to the real big weights on the squat, I was like, all right, pick this up, get this particular posture, and no matter what, don't fucking move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was my mindset. Like, don't move. Like, just go through the range of motion. I mean, that's what powerlifting is. You're asked to go through a particular range of motion that gets judged by three judges.
Mm-hmm.
You got three different lifts. You got squat, bench, deadlift. And you're asked to go through a range of motion. And the main thing in order to complete that range of motion is to stay sturdy, to try to do the lift unbroken. You can do the lift broken, but your luck is going to run out at a certain point. You're going to get injured, or you're going to start to miss attempts at some point. So to have any slack in the system is not great. And so you can kind of make an argument that if you do have a lot of slack or play in the system, it might be detrimental to you. If you look at someone like Jeremy Avila, who we love, who's a genetic monster and works really hard, got a great combination of a lot of things going on, but he's so explosive, but he's also like a freak athlete. I don't even know if people understand, like, follow him on Instagram, the shit that guy can do.
Yeah.
He is extremely athletic, and it wouldn't surprise me if he could dunk a basketball very easily and sprint really fast and all these things, but he also kind of ends up being injury prone here and there because he has such a crazy ability to like flex everything all at once. It's like nasty. Like, imagine if that guy was like a fighter or something. It'd be like, holy shit. The guy'd be able to shoot fireballs out of his hands probably.
Mm-hmm.
But also because he can move so well, he sometimes will go to do like a lift and his body will move a little too much and get overstretched and get compromised. So,
yeah.
It's interesting.
I can imagine though, like for you or for people that like did mainly equipped powerlifting, it's like, okay, so for powerlifting, you do have to maintain certain movement patterns so that you don't fail a lift. You need to retain a level of rigidity so the bar doesn't bend you forward when doing a max squat, so you don't buckle forward when you're doing a deadlift. But the suits, right? It's like, it's when I think about it, it's interesting because how much weight do you think a squat suit can add to somebody's squat? How much have you seen it add to somebody's raw squat versus suited squat?
To my own squat, you know, my best squat was 705. I did a 705 squat in knee wraps, and I did 1,080 in competition. So it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And I think that people don't realize that. They think only the bench shirt was like a huge advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And the bench shirt is a huge advantage. But a squat suit's a huge advantage as well. And I never really did a raw squat when I was my heaviest and my strongest, but it wouldn't have been too much higher than 705. I mean, maybe if I was lucky, it would be 755. There's still a giant gap between 755 and 1,080. So
yeah.
A squat suit does a ton for you, and it also it acts as like extra layers of muscle in a way, kind of like a slingshot, but way more intense. And when you go to do something like a squat, it limits your range of motion. Like, it's very difficult to get full range of motion.
Yeah.
If you were trying to squat, say, 600 pounds, 315 would most likely not be enough weight to get you to break parallel.
Mm-hmm.
You would need probably like 455 or 500, maybe even all the way up to 600. Like, you might need your max weight almost to break parallel. So it definitely was like restrictive, but intentionally. It was like kind of part of what the sport turned into for some weird reason. I think the stuff was made initially with good intention, much like a slingshot, where it's like, hey, this is protective. The bench shirts came first, and then
the slingshot has more move.
Right.
Like, the slingshot can let you get there, right?
And that's what original bench shirts were a little bit like that. They were just like a really stiff shirt and even squat suits. Like George Zangis made the first squat suit and he passed it around like warm-up rooms and people would just adopt it right there on the spot. They were like, this is cool. This helps me lift more weight. No one complained. But it wasn't – the suit wasn't crazy. It was like putting on a belt. You know, mm-hmm. it wasn't anything nuts. So over time, those manufacturers recognize, hey, this is kind of neat. And imagine what will happen. Imagine what will happen to our sales if we help people lift more and more and more weight.
Yeah.
And so then you got into like double layer and you got into all kinds of different things.
That's what I think about though. Like I wonder, I don't know exactly what your training looked like or how many times a week you stepped into the suit, but you have to squat with a different type of form to successfully squat mm-hmm. within a squat suit. And if we think about like how individuals who wear like really, really padded shoes over years, you lose mm-hmm. the sensitivity of your feet and your feet like turn into this casted shape based off of your shoe. And you can't really feel what's going on. You just know that you don't have that, like it doesn't have that wiggle room, right? I would imagine if you were training frequently in a squat suit, your mm-hmm. body would do something similar where it forms into that casted pattern mm-hmm. to do well in a suit, which is great. Right. But then coming out of the suit, you,
yeah.
you know what I mean? I don't know if that sounds right, but
no, that is right. I've seen a guy tear his knee just putting on squat briefs before. Mm. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, how could you tear your knee just putting briefs on? He wasn't even doing an exercise. But to your point, he was trying to put the briefs on. He was like hanging from the rack and trying to like give himself a wedgie with the rack. And then he kind of slipped a little bit and his knee went forward. Oof. This guy squatted 800 pounds. So, like, his knee going forward, you would figure,
yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. my knee went forward. Like, nothing happened, right? But because we were, you know, we were restricting ourselves on purpose to some of these ranges of motion mm-hmm. and getting ourselves tight. And then also, like, wearing a squat suit very, very often. Like, when I would do – the only time I would do movements that didn't have a suit would be sometimes for, like, a deadlift style of movement – or for like a good morning style of movement. But the rest of the time, I wore briefs, you know, 52 weeks out of the year, pretty much. Just wore them every week because I didn't want the consequences of what that would feel like without it. You know, doing all the sets, all the reps. Occasionally, I would do stuff here and there. Like there was a lot of max effort work, heavy stuff done without briefs, like as I would work up and stuff like that. But I didn't want the consequences of all that volume, you know, sitting in my body on top of having like that amount of volume and work, also all that weight, you know, like you guys know when you lift heavy, you just, there's no other way to put it, but you move around like shit for the next couple of days, kind of move around slow, you know, and just, it just kind of sits in your body. So mm-hmm. imagine that plus, you know, having the repetitions and the intensity of like a bodybuilder. So I had some of those reps on the assistance exercises, but on the main movement, I was normally wearing a suit to protect me so that I wasn't getting completely crushed by all the training all the time.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking the other day because we were doing some stuff in the gym with the Anatomy of Therapy guys, and that podcast is probably out now. So you guys should check it out. But we were talking about certain speed of movement. And generally when I'm in the gym and I do bodybuilding stuff, I like to move things controlled and slow, but you know, we talk about if people don't learn to sprint or they don't start sprinting, you lose that capacity as time goes by. So that's firing all of those muscles very quickly in succession and your body moving. So if you don't move weight explosively, if you don't teach your body how to fire things fast, and this isn't necessarily get the biggest muscles and muscle activation, but it's just to make sure that you maintain that ability to explode, that's probably something you're going to lose. And I think that's something that I somewhat lack in my personal training that I'm going to start doing with weights. So I'm going to keep doing all the controlled stuff, but with some slightly mid-level load with things, I'm going to start moving it very explosively so I don't lose that capacity to fire everything as quickly as possible.
I think there's something really healthy about just teaching your body that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's almost that simple. Like, hey, this is okay to like fire into this from this position. You're going to be okay. I remember Louis Simmons, he said, you know, once you got a movement pattern down and feel comfortable with it, he'd just say, go like hell, you know, like just go, like kind of go for it, you know, try to really move it intensely. But he always liked for people to still be under control.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about like, you know, getting yourself way out of control, but
speed work is typically like 50%, right? When people think about it, it's if your max is what, 500 for a squat, yeah. and some people are still, like, you're squatting, mm-hmm. you'd maybe be doing 250, 300 for speed work. What's that
saying? Yeah, it's really, it's genius, you know? And the stronger the person, the lighter the weight. So the stronger, you know, mm-hmm. with the stronger guys would start to use 30%, 40% range rather than like 50, 60%. Mm. If somebody, you know, is to squat like, 700 pounds, they can get a ton out of even just utilizing 225 and some chains or something like that. It's good to have the chains or bands on there from some of the West Side stuff, just because it helps so you're not like over accelerating a barbell, basically. You could put a little bit more oomph into it, a little bit more force into it,
yeah,
without like smashing your joints and stuff like that. But it's kind of an interesting thing. If you have somebody that maybe benches like 200, that person would do really well with utilizing like 50, 60, maybe even 70% of their max, even mm-hmm. on something like a speed day. And the speed stuff was, it was a practice. Yeah. You know, you do 8 sets of 3, or you do 9 sets of 3 or 9 sets of 2 or 10 sets of 2, whatever it would be. You have a lot of practice at first repetitions, mm-hmm. which is what you get asked to do in competition. But then it's also just tons of practice trying to lift from those same positions every single time. And I remember when I was bench pressing, how often it was that I felt like one set felt the same as the next set, felt the same as the next set. It took me at least a decade of training like West Side Barbell method, doing the 10 sets of 2 every single week or 10 sets of 3 every single week, to be able to ingrain it to where I was like, oh, all those sets felt similar. Mm-hmm. The weight would hit in a different spot every time. Like one time it would be, you know, right at my ribs. Next time it would be above the nippies. The next time it would be like down on my stomach. And I'm like, what? I can't even do this the right way, because you're trying to move fast. But I think it's a lost art, is that people don't sometimes understand that in your lifting should be treated as a practice.
Yeah.
You know, martial arts is a practice. And there's like a progression of it. You go through these different belts and you go through training with different people and training different ways. And we just don't do that enough in lifting. We don't treat it as a practice. I think the three of us are doing a good job of that. And I think we're doing a pretty good job promoting that. I just think that some people get so excited about the weights that they kind of they lost track of the fact that you should be like practicing this stuff and finding like what sucks. Like what sucks about what you're doing, what's good about what you're doing, and trying to really be very open-minded towards new shit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so are you guys talking about like when you're moving fast? Sorry, because I'm just thinking like, oh, like what's the research behind like, oh, just you got to move quick. But like fast twitch versus slow twitch, or mm-hmm. is that something completely different?
Yeah, you're on the right track. I mean, I think that I don't want to get too sciencey about this stuff because I don't really know a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But what I do know, what is proposed anyway, is that your fast twitch muscle fibers seem to respond to weight training a little bit better than your slow twitch muscle fibers. And supposedly they are like, I guess they're more prone for hypertrophy.
Got it.
And so how fast you move a barbell may or may not be relevant. I think what's the idea of what's called compensatory acceleration, which is just having the mindset of I'm going to explode with this weight. That was kind of spearheaded by Dr. Squat, like one of the first guys to squat 1,000 pounds. And I think there was a lot of research even since his time, which was like in the 60s, 70s. There's been a lot of research showing that like even just the mindset of like I'm going to explode with this, even if you move slowly, supposedly has a little bit better effect on your training than had you just not really thought about it at all in the first place.
Mm-hmm. When you think about individuals who are doing like a dumbbell bench press, people that are doing bodybuilding, a lot of people talk about doing tempo type work. And I like tempo work, even when it comes to squatting, because it can help an individual learn how to control the squat. Most people, when you see them squat, I hate that I just went from bench, dumbbell bench to squat, but follow me here. Most people, when like they're squatting and they just get into squatting, they'll just put the bar on their back and they'll go down, they'll come up. and there will be a lack of control and lack of muscular control through that movement. You'll see a lot of people when they get towards the bottom, they'll like maybe just drop into the hole because mm-hmm. of lack of control and come up. So it's good for them to learn how to control every aspect of that movement. But once you become proficient, you can actually start to move that weight faster. And if you're able to move it faster and have all of those muscle groups work together to move that load in a faster way, when you work with heavier weights are not necessarily going to move as fast as it did when you were working with lighter weights, but you're going to be able to still produce a lot of force quickly. The reason why this came to mind is because when I was watching Jimmy House deadlift, and Jeremy Avila is the same thing. So it triggered my thoughts on all of this. When you watch Jimmy House deadlift 225, I saw somebody comment that they said, I haven't seen someone deadlift like that since Larry Wheels. And Jimmy, through warming up through all his sets, you saw it, right?
I just saw the heavy ones.
Man, look at the light ones. I was like watching behind him like, fuck, okay, so this is how he's warming up. Because he was deadlifting like he was going to jump out of the gym, literally. But then when he got to 705, it moved. It's still like he still had that explosive movement, and it took a while to come off the ground. But he still exploded into that weight like he did when he worked with 225. And that's something that I personally don't do. But it's something I can do. The reason why I don't do that often is because if not everything's in line and you put that much explosion into a deadlift and you're not ready for it, your back could go out. You know what I mean? That's why I think it's beneficial to do it. But like you said, you need to train yourself into exploding with weight. Just like in jiu-jitsu, you're not gonna do a move fast. You're gonna learn how to do it slowly. And as you become more proficient and more proficient, it's second nature and you can do it really quickly.
Right.
That's the same with weights. Become proficient with the movement, and then over time, start allowing yourself to explode in a controlled fashion with that movement so you don't lose that capacity.
And I think what Nassim is alluding to, too, is just that like he wants to do all of it. You know, it's not like you're going to stop doing movements controlled and slow.
Oh, hell no.
You're still going to utilize tempo. That's been a huge benefit for you. Mm-hmm. It is interesting when we get out of sport and then we go into the weight room. It's hard to say, like, slow controlled, like, does it allow for an athlete to be super explosive? I would kind of say, like, if somebody has been athletic for a long period of time and they just added weightlifting, like they don't have like extra tightness from weightlifting, they're probably just once an athlete, always an athlete. And they'll probably be able to snap into just about anything, like a Michael Hearn. Mm-hmm. You know, Michael Hearn, I would, you know, it would shock me if he wasn't explosive, even though most of the time in the gym, kind of everything I've seen him do is very, very controlled.
Even as he's doing 405 or whatever, like all these crazy behind the neck presses, everything's just robotic as hell.
Right.
But he probably does have that ability too.
Yeah. And I guess it would surprise me, or it wouldn't surprise me though, however, if he went into the sprint and like hurt himself.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like sprints are just in another world. It's like your body's out there and you're kind of moving around in space, and it's pretty unrelated to the stuff that we do in the gym. And then plus the way that he would run, if he's not used to running, you know, could be quite a bit different. But moving explosively in the gym, I think it's smart for people to investigate it after they have, you know, they figured out the form, they got the technique down. Louis's whole thing for the dynamic stuff for Westside, which I still think people should incorporate. Like, there's no reason why you can't pick a specific day and hit some speed benches, unless something hurts, I guess, and some speed squats here and there where you do some box squats. It just feels really good. Mm-hmm. It's just a nice movement to do, and it feels really good on the hips, the glutes. I know Josh Settledge, our boy Settlegate, he uses a lot of speed work with the guys that he trains with at 4 a.m. all the time. So it's something that's really effective, and there's something to it that feels good.
Yeah. Like a simple way that I'm going to be doing this is literally like if I think of a movement like a dumbbell bench press, right? I'll have some load. If I work with something heavier, I'm going to slow it down, but then I'll go to something like maybe 60 pounds probably like 60 pounds on the dumbbell bench, and I'll control it down and I'll explode up, and I'll control it down and I'll explode up. And then I may do another set where I let it come down and explode up. Like when I've seen you bench press in the past, when you're really bench pressing, you do this shit with like 405. You'd slowly bring it down to your chest, you hold it, and then you would just fucking explode it off of you. You know what I mean? So I think this is something easy to implement, but it's something that people need to be careful with to make sure you're choosing the right load. And when you start to explode with certain movements, everything has to stay in line, especially with a deadlift. Because I feel like with deadlifts, if you were just, most people, they don't pull the slack out of the bar and they'll explode down. Like one of the big problems with a lot of people's deadlifts is they don't get the slack out of the bar. So then when they try to explode and the slack hasn't been taken out of the system, meaning you haven't pulled out and taken that slack out, you're now getting this jolt of force going through your back when you come up. But if you watch Jimmy, like this is the thing, the good deadlifters, Jeremy Avila, Jimmy, Larry Wheels,
they're not pulling themselves out of position.
They're not pulling themselves out of position. With most people, if you don't pull slack out of the bar and you explode, you'll pull yourself out of position and then you'll have to compensate back and it's going to be like a jerking motion forward and back. That can be very bad for your back. You have to have control over the whole lift and explode with it.
Do you think you'll try it with some other movements, maybe body weight stuff? Like, for example,
like push-ups and...
Yeah, jumps and like a split squat, you know, like a lunge and a jump type thing. Or
absolutely.
What are those called? Scissor
yeah.
lunges or whatever? I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And it brings me back to Joel Green when he talked about like he just goes into cold sprints every day. Yeah. I'm really starting to think that if you don't do certain things, you will lose it.
Yeah.
Just like if you don't sprint and if you haven't sprinted in years, if you go out and try and sprint right now, you're going to tear your shit up. And if you keep that until you're 40, 50, whatever, and you try doing it then, it's not going to be gone, but it's going to be a capacity that you really have to rebuild. And if you somehow keep these things in, you know, periodically, intermittently, that capacity will stay with you.
I think a ton can be gained for some of the people that are training, you know, kind of carefully, training kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying like convert all your training over to this, but finding some exercises where you feel comfortable to move faster, I think would be great.
Yes.
And maybe it is just on something like a jump. There's a lot of stuff that I've just looked at in the last year or so. And I'm like, kind of, why is that? Like, why is that way? Why is that that way? And then my answer is usually like, oh, well, just because it's always been that way. Like, that's why these things kind of exist. Like something like jumping on a box, like jumping on a box it's great. It's fine. Like it's a nice exercise, you know? However, you don't have to even jump up on anything. You can just jump up in the air.
Yeah.
I know it's nice to have like a marker. It's nice to have something to like, you know, aspire to jump onto. But I think a lot of times people are trying to jump way too high onto things. And then it becomes a thing of like how much you can move your feet under your body and your mobility. And then also too, like you just run the risk of getting hurt. So keep things in like a safer zone. I've seen a lot of people that I admire that implement box jumps and things like that into their training, and they'll actually just jump onto boxes that are really low, but they just over jump every time they land on them. So
Andrew, can you look up a guy named Ben the Bounce on Instagram? Okay, and as you mentioned that, you know who I'm talking about? Have you seen him?
I'm not sure.
Bruh.
Ben
okay.
Simmons?
Ben the Bounce. He's this white guy. He's a bobsledder or something. I don't know. Did he pop up?
He fucking jumped like a madman.
Okay, now I want you to look at the video with him and his face.
This one?
Yes.
Wait, hold on.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
You see, like, he jumps up, and there's no mobility aspect here. Bring your knees up to your body. It's seeing how high you can jump. That's a very effective box jump.
God.
You see, that's fucking wild.
That's like he's floating.
Yeah, it's such a great movement, too. He's doing a box jump box jump. Squatting, picking up his legs. You get like a little pre-stretch of the hip flexor before you do your jump.
Yep. Boom. So that takes out what you're talking about. And because most people that do box jumps, they bring their knees up and they'll get up there, right? But it's not crazy effective. Yeah, he's super fucking bouncy. He's insane. Oh, man.
You know what's nuts is a fucking triple jump.
Yeah.
You seen people triple jump before? It's fucking like the technique is insane.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching him do like a triple broad jump is what he's doing right here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like how do they keep their Achilles and ankles from not exploding when they're doing a triple jump?
But then you also look at this, the mobility at the end, just his ability to like, look at how he lands.
He extends. Force.
He lands. He
just walks away.
Just right out of it. You know what I mean? So I think these are like, oh, what is this?
Another great one is just like, you know, explosive push-ups, you know, pushing up and pushing onto something else. Oh, he's doing some one leg.
Okay, take him off the screen. This is too much. This is too much. Like, we don't need to watch this anymore. And if you're listening, this man just did like it looks probably like a 50-inch single leg box jump.
Wow.
Oh my God. Wow. Are this we athletes?
This guy's sick.
Not anymore.
No.
Not after watching that.
We're no longer athletes.
You know, it's interesting though, like being an athlete, like if you're an athlete one dimensionally in one thing, then you all of a sudden might not be athletic. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It can happen. I mean, there are sports though that require so much of what we would kind of put into this like box, I guess, of athleticism. But powerlifting would definitely be one of those situations where it could leave you feeling less athletic to our standard of what we would consider to be athleticism. I mean, there's weird stuff for me. Like, I used to be able to catch a football really well and chuck one really well and all that kind of stuff. And then some of the like the motor learning of doing some of that stuff, I feel like bumbly and fumbly and like clumsy. Like, it doesn't feel, and obviously it makes sense. I haven't messed around with that in a long time.
Yeah.
But I think there's something else at play. I think there's something about, you know, how big I got and the different weights I lifted. I think it like might have disoriented a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also makes it more difficult for me to, you know, for me to like reach or extend. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not as invested in it anymore. Maybe as I would have been when I was a kid, because I'm like, I don't drop passes. Like, anything gets fucking thrown my way, I'm going to catch everything.
Yeah.
I don't care if I get a dive, or I don't care if it hurts my back. I don't care if I hit my head. Like, I'm going to catch it. And as you get older, you're like, oh, I don't mind if that one goes flying past me. Mm-hmm. Not a big deal.
Hey, I know you're enjoying this episode, but listen up. We partnered with Merrick Health. They're a telehealth network owned by Derek for More Plates, More Dates. But literally, the amazing thing about Merrick Health and getting your labs done with them is that when you get your labs done, you work with a client care coordinator that goes over your labs and gives you specific supplementation or nutrition protocols or potentially hormonal protocols for your levels. The problem with a lot of these other telehealth networks is that when they do these things, they give everybody the same exact things, which actually can hurt you long term more than help you. Andrew, how can they get it?
Yes, that's over at merrickhealth.com. That's M-A-R-E-K health.com. And if you already know what labs you want to get at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT10 to save 10% off all of those labs. If you don't know where to start, head over to merrickhealth.com/POWERPROJECT. And you guys will get directed straight to the Power Project panel that has 26 different labs that will cover everything you need. And at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT to save $101 off of that panel. Again, merrickhealth.com, links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
I think that's one thing that you can do though. Like, if you're an individual who's in a specific sport, I know we've talked about there are certain sacrifices that need to be made if you want to hit the top levels of something, the top levels of powerlifting, bodybuilding, whatever it is. But if you want to be able to keep certain capacities as you're heading toward a specific goal, you could do bodybuilding and do something outside of bodybuilding to keep your ability to move, fucking pickleball, like we were talking about with anatomy of therapy, or something that just allows you to have some swing, some different types of body movement, right, so you don't lose those capacities. Because as we've been seeing, like with all these guests that have been coming on, I've been just getting this continuous repeated idea of, if you do not use it and if you do not move in those ways, you will lose those capacities. Right. So all you got to do is figure out how can I make sure, figure out ways within my training or outside of my training to keep these different movement capacities so that I can still be great at whatever it is I'm doing and not lose this over time or have to rebuild this when I get older.
David Goggins said it took him 5 years. It took him 5 years to kind of unwind how big and fat he was when he was like powerlifting and stuff like that. And he's like, that's 5 years. I could have been spending time being a savage. But at that time, he was just working on stretching and running and like trying not to have shin splints and trying not to cramp up when he was running. So he had to spend all this extra time. I kind of feel like that's a little bit where I'm at. But one thing I would say with my career is I was able to get to a lot of the lifts that I wanted to get to.
Yeah.
And even though they might seem like a sacrifice now, they weren't necessarily a sacrifice then. And I even knew a lot of stuff back then to take care of myself enough to where I even have a chance to do all the stuff that I do today. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other guys that don't have that chance. They don't have that same shot. Like, they're busted up. Like, I'm not busted up. I might look tight. I might look this. I might look that. But I still feel I have so much more in me. There's so much more that I can do. I mentioned that, like, you're in your prime, but I'm not saying that I'm out of mine.
Yeah.
I just feel like you're in the prime of your jiu-jitsu career and, like, probably in the coolest part of it. Because at some point, you know, you'll – I mean, it's not like you won't care about it, but, like, you're still hungry. You still want to learn. You still want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to learn and get better as well. But the part of me is done with, like, the heavier lifts. Like, so I'm out of my prime in terms of powerlifting. But I might be entering my prime into something new and different. And yes. I feel like I have full capacity to really be able to explore. I don't even really know what the fuck it is I'm doing now, but I think at some point I'll be a very proficient runner. I won't mm-hmm. just be like running. I think that I'll be like kicking ass running. I think I'll get to a point where other people will be like, I'm just not even bother to try to run with him because he fucking goes too fast. You know, so I still have access to that, but the reason why I have access to that is after every competition, I always lost weight. After every single competition, I always started over. I always started with bodybuilding. I always restructured everything to the point where I was like, let me rebuild.
Yeah.
You know, what was wrong with that meet? Why didn't I do as well as I wanted? Why did I miss this particular lift? What was off? How do I work on it? And I would literally be in the gym. I always thought it was important to be in the gym the next day, no matter what, or how bad or fucked up or bloodshot my eyes were, bloodshot my whole face was. I always thought it was really important to get back in the gym the next day and at least, you know, pull the sled. Or I sent you guys videos today of like me and Duffin, like Duffin doing the hand foot glove thing to me like 7 years ago. And we showed the clip of me and Jesse doing the Sturette stuff.
Yeah.
On the streets of San Francisco, the couch stretch like 12 years ago.
The stuff's been circulating here for a minute.
Yeah, I've been investigating all this stuff for a really long time, and not all of it has always stuck, but at least I've been mindful of like, this is going to be important. I should pay attention to this because I'm going to probably need this at some point in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's if we're thinking of ways that people can like quite easily do this, because again, most people aren't trying to hit world record numbers for powerlifting. I can understand if that's your goal. And I can also understand, because, you know, Bobby was talking about this the other day. If powerlifting or bodybuilding is the thing that brings you just a high level of fulfillment and you're not world class, but you just enjoy it so much, it doesn't mean you need to stop doing that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But not everyone thinks the same as far as old age. Maybe it's a fear of mine. Maybe it's like a fear in the back of my head. Maybe that's why I'm interested in all of this, because again, like, I don't want to be old with the inability to move. Mm-hmm. That is a very scary thing. So
yeah, like maybe your actual age is higher, but everything else is still good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine. And I think that if you add in, like we did some rotation stuff with the guys from Anatomy of Therapy, if you add in the ability to have extra rotation, you can do certain movements in the gym, like the rotational row that we were doing or the twisted bench press that we were doing. But if you can add that in, or even a simple thing, right, for rotation is going out and playing catch with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, if you never have before, I get that. But like going out and throwing and doing that, because you might be surprised if you haven't thrown something in a long time, how bad you are at it. But the thing is there's a lot of rotational movement in throwing, and that's something that's missing out in a lot of lifting. So just figuring out natural ways to add that in without impeding too much on your lifestyle and your schedule can be amazing for the way you move in the long run.
Yeah, and don't try to throw far. Don't try to throw hard. Just throw shit back and forth and throw stuff around. And in the gym, twisting, just figure out ways to twist. One of the ways that we figured out today was just through like a seated row.
Yeah.
One arm seated row. People probably already do some of these things, but maybe they're just not mindful of like, oh, let me actually twist my spine a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I know sometimes when it comes to bodybuilding, when it comes to isolation, we will restrict certain things. Like, let me not move my elbow at all for this curl so that I can get maximum contraction of the bicep. Well, maybe that's good for some of your training, but maybe some of your training, you take a bar and you move through a full range of motion, swinging your elbow around. Why not swing your body around a little bit? Why, like, oh, you used your lower back for that. So what? You know, it's not like when you help somebody move a couch, they're like, you cheated, you used your lower back, like we're only using our biceps. So I think there's a time and place for each different thing. And I think that trying to incorporate things that you're going, that are going to be things that are going to be really helpful to you down the road, when you start to get older, I think it's really an important thing to just be aware of. It's not like you have to spend 2 hours a day stretching, but some movements in the gym where you're twisting and moving around quite differently, and or just going out and playing a sport. Be careful if you haven't done it in a long time. But all those things are going to be things that are going to allow you to kind of tap into stuff that you're probably not currently tapping into.
Yeah, I do think that there's a lot to the if you don't use it, you lose it. It hit me yesterday. It's as silly as it sounds, and people that listen to this podcast are going to maybe not even understand it. But I was trying to cross the street, and of course, like, it's like the fucking Truman Show every time. There's nobody. I go to cross the street. Here comes a shit ton of cars. So I'm like, okay, I'm just waiting for everyone to pass. And then one guy was like, no, go ahead. And so like I ran across the street. Mm-hmm. And as I got there, I was just like, every time I've had somebody like, hey, like go ahead and cross the street. Like, nope, I have not had one person run across the street unless they were kids. But other than that, I've never seen one adult run outside of the guy that's like, you know, got the compression socks and the fucking gigantic Nike shoes that he's cheating and the water packs on his back, at least in the neighborhood. I'm joking, but I've never seen anybody, like any adult, just have to like, oh, I got to get from here to there. Like, oh, let me pick up the pace and actually get a light jog in. And it's, as I was walking, I was thinking, I was just like, dude, you know what? Like the reason why I probably haven't seen is because maybe they can't. And again, people listening to the show, I'm like, dude, I can fucking run across the street. It's like, yeah, okay, well, okay, I'm glad that we are all in this community, that we can if we needed to, but a majority of the population, maybe they might not be able to. And that's fucking crazy.
I totally agree with what you just said, because when I started running after you started running, I was like, God, I suck. And I did this for 16 years of my life. I was running around a fucking field, and now going out and taking a jog, I feel like this. Like that is insane. But another thing that's pretty wild, and when you mentioned it during the podcast we had with Anatomy of Therapy, I'm like, holy shit, is you mentioned with lifting, reflexes really aren't involved. In lifting, reflexes aren't involved. You can deadlift, you can squat, you can press all these things, but you're not using reflexes. You guys have seen Ido Portal and Roy Gold, and they're doing all this shit with like tennis balls and catching and stuff. If you're not doing shit that makes you have to use your reflexes, like we just mentioned, throwing a ball, fucking catching a football here and there, imagine how bad over time you're going to get at having a reflex to something. You're walking up the stairs and you slip, but your reflexes are shit because you've never really used that stuff. Mm. You haven't used it in years, but you've been lifting. And then you're just like, oh no, I've fallen and I can't get up. You remember that shit, life alert?
Course, yeah, you're done.
Right? And when you said that, I was like, dog, we need to figure out ways for people to train their reflexes again.
It's like drill a football at somebody's chest when you're doing a squat. Like, you got no reflexes, motherfucker. It's like, well, I wasn't sure. Should I drop the weight or catch the ball? I don't know.
But that's a big part of aging in a healthy way. Not just movement that we've been talking about, but having the ability to fucking catch yourself.
No, it's been, well, the reflex stuff has been shown, like, your ability to, like, take in information very quickly has been shown to really help push off things like Alzheimer's and dementia and things of that nature. So, I mean, there's people just, they do simple tasks like crossword puzzles and stuff like that. Keeps your mind sharp. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like little things you can do. Any games or puzzles that you're into, like all those things are really fantastic. But you'll hear people talk about like tennis, golf, some things that involve some hand-eye coordination. There's not so much reaction in golf, I guess. But, you know, sports where there's like a ball bouncing around, ping pong, like any of these things, they're all things you have to react to, and jiu-jitsu is like an amazing version of that, because even if you're going like move per move and you're kind of going back and forth and you might not feel like it's too much reflex, then there's the reflex of like the dude, you know, hitting some pressure points on you and you being like, whoa. And then sometimes you guys have to be so controlled that you're like, I can't wiggle the wrong way.
Yes. If you go the wrong way, you'll tear your shit up.
Yeah. And if I wiggle the wrong way, that guy's trying to get me. He knows that I'm going to wiggle the wrong way because he's got his fucking elbow or knee in me. And that's going to set him up perfectly to like choke me out or to take my back or whatever the move is. And it's like, it's such a crazy sport. But I think things like that can help keep you really vibrant, help keep you around. When it comes to the gym, it's hard to find that stuff. And so all we're proposing is like, just try to find stuff. There's that, not necessarily reflexes in like, say something like a box jump, but there's a little bit because yeah. you have to kind of know where to land, and you got to land a specific way coming down off the box. You know, if you're going to jump back down off the box, there's like some reaction to absorbing that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to move more in the gym. Like everything's so like one dimensional. And I don't know where the fuck I've been or what I've been doing with myself all these years, but I've just have never really zoomed out and thought about it that much to where it almost makes sense that people have been trying so hard to figure out like sports specific stuff. I used to just think it was the dumbest thing in the world. I'm like, why? Like, why are we trying to attach weight to the end of a fucking baseball? You know, this is just getting to be dumb. Or like, yeah, taking a football and trying to attach weight to it so you could throw it harder. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that those things are that they're good practices. I'm just saying it makes sense because there is a big disconnect between what you do on a field or a court in comparison to what you do in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Huge difference.
And I think that's why, like, a simple thing, but not so simple, is Udo Portal, like, juggling is a big part of what they do. I when I watched some of the stuff in the past, I was like, why are these guys doing all this juggling shit? Like, why are they doing all that? Mm-hmm. But then I was like, wow, they're doing that because, okay, they move like fucking gods, which is type in roy.gold on Instagram, please, Andrew. Mm-hmm. We got to get Udo Portal once.
Just for you guys to watch this video of
Ben
the Bounce, but because the way he runs right here,
yeah,
it just looks so, like, I don't know, it looks nice.
You can just see the amount of force he's putting through the ground quickly.
Yeah. Okay, right? Sorry, who am I searching for now?
Roy, R-O-Y-E. You'll probably dot gold.
That was a nice gold. That was a nice run, and you could actually tell that like that looked like a very specific like trained run.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It looked like he's trained up. Like it didn't look like he. I have no idea, but it doesn't look like he naturally would run that way. Mm-hmm. He looked like he was very specifically like throwing his hands down towards the ground almost.
I just loved how like he was nowhere near his heels like when he was. Right. When
oh
he was, like,
hell, you know,
and like yeah, it just looked pretty. Yeah. Weird to say.
Leaning forward a lot.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This one?
Let's just actually, let's go down real quick because he does a lot of stuff with like tennis balls while moving. Wait, let's see. Do you see anything with like a...
Let me see. Hold on. I'm not sure.
And what about people, you know, getting into like some jumping rope or, you know, some skipping of rope or some boxing or something, you know, throwing some gloves.
Look. Yeah, you see? Like they were like Udo Portal and Roy Gold. They were in the Israeli Special Forces, so that's like a like reflex and all that stuff. But they move well. But yeah, like they're doing all these things,
just punching a ball back and forth, kind of.
So
thing.
Like, do you see how he caught that behind? Like,
yeah,
his ability to have great reflexes is next level. So not only is he able to move, what the fuck? See,
they're just playing around. That's sick.
But these are things you could do. Like, imagine you and a friend, you guys buy some tennis balls or just one tennis ball and you guys just throw that shit back and forth and just...
Why don't we have a hacky sack here?
I know I don't have a hacky sack, but...
You'll get one.
This is an amazing, simple way for an individual to start to just, like, learn and train their reflexes. But then when you, like, obviously you see how he moves, go to another video of, like, just... That's and look at his weird... Look at his movement, man. Like, his ability... Look, press that.
This one?
Or that one right there. So obviously this is some advanced type shit, but
oh wow.
Like he's gonna it's just
so he's doing a bent over handstand on his fingertips.
Yeah.
One handed now.
Yeah. And like those guys, they're amazing movers, but that's what I mean. It's like you don't need to get to that shit or try that. But a simple way is
whoa. Geez,
and he's jacked. You see, you can't tell me. Oh my Whoa. God. He needs to come to the US.
Damn.
Like, yeah, he's one of Udo Portal's guys that Udo Tart. So like, yeah, the movement culture thing with them is insane. But yeah, get some tennis balls, work on your reflexes. It'll be helpful for you in old age.
It's fucking wild to see these guys move around like this. It's like, you know, I would guess, and I don't have any idea. Like, it'd be so good to know these guys' background.
Yeah.
I would just assume that they just never stopped.
Exactly.
You know, that whatever they were doing, they just never stopped. And I think you're kind of in that position. You might have stopped a little bit running. You didn't run as much for a little while, but you continued your athleticism. You traded sport for sport back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you should age really, really well. And then now you have knowledge, too, moving forward of different things that you can participate in or do.
Absolutely. But for those who, if you did stop for a substantial amount of time, there's a lot of things that I'm trying to build from here. Right. Like growing up, I did a lot of weight room stuff, but I didn't do a lot of body weight stuff. So I'm trying to become more adept at moving my body around without weight. Like, I got those base blocks trainers, all of those things that allow you to just hold your body weight and manipulate that. I'm very interested in that because when it comes to life, and even jiu-jitsu, the things that is going to allow me to advance is going to be my control over my body and my strength over my control over my body. Not necessarily like how much load I can carry is beneficial, but I think everyone can work on their body weight, becoming stronger in that sense, and just learning better body control. And you can do that at home. Like, now I'm doing so many push-ups and dips and stuff at home, so I can try to improve at that. Because long run, I think that's going to actually play a better role into how my body is than just moving weights. And I'm never going to stop the weights, but that is something that I've neglected that I need to build.
Mm. My wife went into the cold plunge last night.
Oh.
How was it? How'd she like it? What temperature was it at?
She loved it. I think it was like 52.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Yeah. She hates cold water.
Mm-hmm.
So she was just like, I think I'm going to.
And she's a swimmer.
I know. Well, she swam and, you know, the temperature of the water was like 50 something degrees when she swam in Alcatraz. And it was like for 30 minutes or whatever.
Ooh.
But you're moving, you know, and there's like kind of adrenaline. You're in like a race, you know, so it's like a little different. But yeah, her back was bugging her. I don't know if she did something in the gym or what she did, but her back was stiff. And then she was like, it was just cool that it was her own idea. I wasn't like, hey, you need to get in there. You know, mm-hmm. I did tell her that. I was like, I think you'll like it. I know it sounds so weird, but like, you'll sit in there for a few minutes and then like, you'll start laughing kind of hysterically because it's like, I don't know, something makes you a little Looney Tune in there for a minute.
Yeah.
You lose your marbles for a second. And then you start to relax and you start to be able to breathe, and it actually somehow becomes enjoyable for a little while. And then you start to shiver, and then you got to get the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two days ago, Stephanie got in. So my wife jumped in 58 degrees. But it was so funny because like she couldn't get in all the way, so she didn't go fully submerged. But and it
that's
was
the hard part.
It is hard.
Getting the back of the neck in there?
The back of the neck. Yeah,
especially if you're anything, a woman with hair.
Yeah, so that was a limiting factor. She didn't want to get her hair wet, but it was so funny because like, so I had been like telling her like, dude, I think you're really gonna love it, like you should probably do it. And I was like, no. And then, you know, after 2 weeks now, she finally was like, okay, I want to do it. So she got in.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so funny because like, she's in there and she's sitting up and I'm like, you know, lean forward or lean back, like let's get you, you know, more in the water. And then she's like, this is as far as I can go. And I'm like, no, but you can lean forward and you're going to be fine. And she, by no means is she ever mean or anything, but she's just like, I am leaning forward. It was so funny.
That's great.
And, you know, she was like, oh, can I get out now? It was like, I don't know. Like, it had probably been like about a minute,
mm-hmm.
but I started my watch late. So I'm like, I'm like, it's only been like 15 seconds. You have 45 more seconds to go. She's like, no, I need to get out now. I'm like, no, you need to stay in there or else it's like not even worth it. But I took pictures and I sent them to her and she's just like, oh shoot. Like, I thought I was like way in the water. She's like, mm-hmm. I was barely even in there. I'm like, you'll get the hang of it. Don't worry.
I've been recording myself going in there because I'm like, I want to see what a bitch I am yeah. each time. And I'm not getting much better at it yet. But
it's hard.
I've only let out like a weird gasp like one time, and Andy came running in there. She's like, what the hell's going on? She was kind of making sure I was okay or whatever.
Wait, what did it sound like that she had to run in? Were you like,
like probably something like that. I think, you know, I was trying to breathe a lot. So I was doing some of that. Yeah. And I did one of those and she's like, what the hell's going on in here? But, anyway, I am getting a little bit better at it, but it's tough to calm down. It's like, I think the key is to get in there really fast.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. It seems like that's the key. Is
get in, dunk your head under, and come up.
And just be fucking good with it. Because you go in at slow at all, and the ripples of the water start to hit different spots and stuff. You just get colder and colder.
Yeah, I have to... Well, so I do spend way too much time outside of the tub because I'm just like, oh, let's go, let's do this. And I'll look at it and be like, because you can hear the bubbles going, and then you see the light under the water and you see the waves, and you're just like, oh boy. And then you can hear that chiller click on. You're just like, fuck, it's just getting colder. But then once I actually get my 2 feet in,
the chiller should say, fuck you.
It should.
If you guys want to increase the jets. That'll get
you can increase the jets.
What? Yeah, in the back panel, because like first off,
I wish you didn't tell me.
Yeah,
you want the front panel and the back ones.
Yeah, because you know Hooper mentioned you want to move around so you don't create that thermal layer.
I do move around.
You do, but if you wanna, so you can calm down a bit. You don't have to move around, but the water will keep
going.
You can increase the jet speed, and then you don't have to worry about moving.
So what I do is I get both feet in right away. Start the timer on my watch. And then you have to just straight down and then all the way up to my neck. Yeah. And that's where I'm just like, and like every so often, I'm like, you fucker. Like I get mad at it. But then eventually, you know, you calm down. And then so I can't go straight head like underwater right away. I can't do it because I'm having such a hard time breathing. I'm afraid that I'm going to gasp for air just underwater. Okay. You say do the and then go. I can't. There's no oxygen coming in. It's just like. That's all it is. So I can't take a gasp of air and then jump in because I'm going to reach for that gasp of air as I'm underwater. So I have to plug the nose, take a deep breath, and then go under. And then I have to, I fucked up many times, but I keep my nose plugged for a long time because I've let go as I come up and I get really cold water up my nose. And that's not a happy place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you feel pretty silly when you do that.
Dude, it's a pretty amazing tool because with all the breathing control stuff that we talked about, controlling your breathing with the martial arts, lifting, all that type of stuff, this is a place where when you do get control over your breathing, it is actually not a difficult thing to do. Like it feels difficult right now, but when you're able to control that shit, it's just like, it's cold as shit, but if you're breathing throughout the whole thing, it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people, when they lift, they hold their breath and they don't even realize they're holding their breath. Yeah. And that can lead to keeping tight and injury. But if you're breathing during certain things, it's easier.
Do you guys do it with shorts on?
I usually wear
shorts. I have like mine is inside, but then like where it is inside, there's like a window right there. So
yeah, well,
no, a window just, to what? Who's gonna look through that window?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't have neighbors,
FedEx guy or some shit,
something. What if like
my kids are running around? Too.
Yeah.
It's nothing they haven't seen.
Yeah, probably not.
No, because I was curious because like I wear shorts too because, you know, family, backyard, blah, blah, blah.
I feel you.
But like I pulled my shorts down and I was like, oh, it's cold again.
Let that Congo hang out.
Well, not that far because I don't want to be weird. But like the waistband like harbors some heat. Yeah, so I was like, I got to keep moving this around because, you know, I don't want to cheat my way through it.
Mm-hmm. One thing we were talking about yesterday that I really dig is the state change that happens when you cold plunge. Like you get in there, you get out. Like, how do you? I'm actually curious. How do you feel? Because you've been using it more now. Like, I feel like let's go do some shit. You know what I mean?
Well, I've been using it a lot more, a little bit at more later in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, and like last night, I was like, man, am I gonna stop shivering? I'm like laying in bed, like under the covers and shit. So, I haven't really used it in the morning. I don't think I've used it in the morning, like before a run or anything like that. But that would be. I have used it actually before a run, but not in the morning. I got to try it out in the morning and see what it does morning-wise. That would be interesting.
That's when I usually use it. And I've started using it just like intermittently. Like if I'm at home and then like during like close to the evening and I want to do something, I'll just take 20 seconds and go just dunk myself in there for just 20 seconds. Not like 2 or 3 minutes like I usually do with the one, just 20 seconds. And boom, once I'm out of there, I'm like, ha, ha, ha. Let's go. Like it's an immediate state change. And that's one thing I really dig about it because it can be used like that. You can't deny what happens to your body when you get into fucking 40 degree
water.
There's
a lot of reflexes going on.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of like, you know, automatic reactions. You have some things that you can control. You can kind of control your breathing and certain things. But if your body gets really cold, it's going to probably shiver, right? You probably don't have a whole lot of control over that. No, I've been really digging it, but it is a real bitch.
Yeah,
and every time
you get pissed at it, you're like, "Fuck this thing."
Every time, it's so good. But like what you're explaining about the state change, you know, like that's been the biggest reason why I get into it. And you know, I get in there, like I fight it, I get in there, I feel amazing. But after, do you guys just towel off and then just kind of hang out and just go about your business, or do you take a shower or anything?
This morning I let the sun do the work and then I showered. But usually if I usually have to get here for podcasting, I'll dry myself out outside, then go shower and come.
Okay.
Yeah. But I like just like standing out there for a little bit afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I've been doing that too. Yeah. That's really nice. Especially because like when the sun pops out, it's just, the sun doesn't even have to be out because the temperature right now in Sacramento is warmer than that cold plunge.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get out, everything feels warm.
Yeah.
Even though 5 minutes before you walked outside and it was cold, you're just like, oh, I'm already getting a sample of what it's going to be like. And then it's like so much worse. But then you get out and it's just like, oh my God, I love this weather. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been trying to shower before it so I don't get it too disgusting.
Mm.
Just to at least kind of rinse off a little bit.
Yeah.
Jason was telling us that the thing gets fucking dirty as hell.
I just wonder how dirty Jason is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like mine is.
Well, so what he said was that like he left it like it wasn't running.
Yeah.
And I can attest to that. Yeah, like I fucked up. Like I left mine, the fucking breaker blew. So like it just wasn't working for a couple days. And yeah, it got a little funky.
That's the cool thing about it though. Like, cause people have mentioned, oh, why not just get like a chest freezer? And you can, cause people have done that. But the thing is it keeps, like, you don't have to change your water for like 6 or 7 months because it keeps the water circulating and it has its own filter. So you just change the filter every single month and you don't have to change the water in it.
But even if you have to, like I've already changed it twice and it's like very, it doesn't take a long time. It doesn't take up that much water.
Yeah.
It's no big deal to change the water out too.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, like, you know, spending X amount of time in there at X degrees versus, you know, like you can just go as cold as possible and maybe go 3 minutes, or if you can go,
I was wondering this too,
higher temperature and go
6 minutes
for longer minutes. Does that drop your body temperature? And if you're able to stay in there for like 10 or 20 minutes, can you drop your body? I don't know. I don't even know what the point of all of it is.
Guys, just make it fucking cold. Stop making excuses.
Oh, I know.
Take it down to 40.
Take it down to 40.
Take it down to 40.
Have fun with that.
Yeah.
I've gotten in at 42.
There we fucking go. Yeah, I had it at 42 too.
I think that's what I've gotten it to so far.
Yes,
I haven't, like, yeah, I haven't, I got the last one down to the 30s, but I haven't taken this one down to the 30s yet. I think it goes as cold as like 38 or 37 degrees.
Yeah. High 30s. No, no thing. I'm good. You guys can keep doing that.
How long do you go into that for?
It's like in the morning to like two or 3 minutes. Usually I set the timer for 3 minutes. This morning.
That's got to be enough to get your body temperature down enough to make a huge change.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking
freezing. Yeah. Usually I go for like 2.5 or 3, but this morning, like, Sam kept fucking splashing water on me while I was in there and just bothering me. So I got out after like 2. She was being like, she was like, I went in there and then she just comes out and is like just splashing me with water.
Is that cold? Is that cold?
Yep. Yep. It was tough, but it was good resilience training, man. Good resilience training.
Take us on out here, Andrew.
All righty. Thank you, everybody, for checking out today's episode. We sincerely appreciate it. Please drop us a comment down below, whether it be a question on anything we talked about today, or if you want to just, like, you know, drop a question for, or drop a comment for the old algorithm. Both would be sincerely appreciated. And subscribe if you guys are not subscribed already. You can follow the podcast at MB Power Project on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. My Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z. Encima, where you at?
At Encima Yin Yang on YouTube, at Encima Yin Yang on TikTok and Twitter. Make sure to use code Power Project on Cold Plunge.
Oh, yeah. Thecoldplunge.com. Sorry, I forgot to mention that.
There you go.
Thecoldplunge.com. Check out, enter promo code Power Project to save a bunch of money off of your in-home cold plunge. And we can't recommend that shit enough.
And last thing, we are going to do a podcast on something that we saw on the Discord soon. So make sure to join the Discord. The link is in the description. We got over 1,100 members in there, close to 1,200 now.
We building. But yeah. I'm at Mark Smelly Bell. Strength is never weakness. Weakness never strength. Catch you guys later. Bye.